streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me
home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Miss Thelma Wright. She was legendary as reputedly the most dangerous, powerful black woman in Philadelphia. As the wife of Jackie Wright, a top heroin dealer in the city, she was intricately connected with the Black Mafia, a gang that operated Philly's drug trade throughout the 1970s and into the 1980s. Once widowed and left as a young mother of a toddler son, she discreetly took over his business, running a bi-coastal drug empire, unbeknownst to family and friends around her. Recognized by her distinguished, sparkling green eyes, Wright ruled the streets with incredible savvy and disarming charm, yet very few knew the real sadness and confusion in her heavy heart. So listen in tonight for this awesome story, and before we bring her on, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yeah. I would just like to say thank everybody who tuned into our radio show every Wednesday night. And we just want to first all thank our soldiers inside the prison walls who are down with the team, 150 prisoners that roll with the streets and love you back, federal and state men and women. And I'd like to give a shout-out to my three brothers, Robbie, Marvell, and Christopher, serving life sentence. And just our soldiers out here in the street, man, that's educating these kids, man, that the streets definitely don't love you back. They'll never love you back. The drug game is a deadly game. It don't love nobody, and your own homeboy and homegirl will turn that game all the way around. So listening tonight to a very powerful story, and with that being said, we're going to bring Ms. Thelma Wright on, and she's going to formally introduce herself. You're on the air, Ms. Wright.
Well, thank you so much for having me. My name is Thelma Wright, and I'm the author of With Eyes from Both Sides, Living My Life in and Out of the Game. I must apologize to you tonight. I'm a little under the weather, but I am here, so I will do my best to get through this.
Hey, we just want to say we're very honored to have you on the show, and we thank you for coming on the show. So we would just like for you to start off, Ms. Wright, on your childhood and lead up to how did you get in the game?
Well, I grew up in South Philly. I come from a two-parent household, Catholic school educated. Basically, my parents were very involved in the community with sports and all types of athletic, both being powerhouse basketball players. My brothers were also ball players, and as myself, pretty much I could have done anything in life. After graduating from high school, I met someone who was heavily involved in the drug game, 10 years my senior, Jackie Wright. And it was told to me that prior to our relationship, Jackie was deeply involved with the Black Mafia. And we dated for some years, had our son in 1982, things were going really good. He had a great run. And in August of 1986, my husband was murdered because he did someone a favor. He looked out for a guy, fronted him a key of cocaine, and the guy was, I guess, not able to pay because of his own drug usage. He murdered my husband in August of 1986. After his demise, I stepped in and took over his drug business.
Right. And at the time of you taking over the business, Ms. Wright. Did you know the seriousness of the business when you was taking it over, or you were just looking at it, I got to continue this money flow to take care of me and my kids?
No, by the time that my husband was murdered, I was fully aware of the dangers that were involved. But, you know, we always think that we're going to do things differently. My husband was murdered in the city of Philadelphia. At that time, I was living in Los Angeles. He had sent myself and my son away for our safety earlier that year. And so I was well aware of what could happen, but I figured living in Los Angeles and doing most of my business in Philadelphia, you know, would actually allow me a little more safety net, you know, where I could travel, handle my business in Los Angeles. At the time, I had developed a sportswear business with a partner in Los Angeles, so I felt as though I could maneuver a little better living in Los Angeles and doing business on the East Coast.
And when you really found out that you could maneuver on that East Coast and West Coast, because, you know, like we all know in the game, things get bad when they think the main player is away, you know? So when did you start seeing that this game is starting to get real tricky?
Well, the way I did my business was completely different than the way my husband did. I dealt all weight. So my business was pretty much cash and carry, you know. I did business only with people that I knew. You know, if you were brought in, you had to be brought in by someone that I fully trusted. It was more like a family business, you know. I kept things close with people that I knew, people who had established, you know, themselves with my husband. So things went really well almost 5 years. I had a good almost five-year run before things began to crumble. And then when they crumbled all together. You know, within 60 days, everything happened. I had someone that was very dear to me get killed. He had nothing to do with my business, but he was involved in the game himself, and we were at the wrong place at the wrong time, and a shootout happened, and he was hit. He was killed in July of 1991. Within 2 weeks' time, someone that I was doing business with was busted. And within 3 weeks of that time, the late August of 1991, my connect was killed as well. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So I felt as though all the writing was on the wall. You know, if I did not take heed to these messages that were coming my way that were very close, I knew that I could be killed or go to jail. And what would happen to my child? You know, I realized I had no business in that game. You know, it really was, I felt as though, a man's game, but I did what I needed to do, you know, to keep my head above water, to try to maintain things as best as I could for me and my son and try to prepare for our future. But, you know, it always turns out the same way. You're either going to jail or you're going to get killed, and I came very close to both.
Right. And with that being said, Ms. Wright, can you give the viewers, you know, especially the ones, the youngsters out here that's thinking that lifestyle is so cool and so glamorous, can you give them a big view of that picture of what you're going to be expecting when you step up in that thing that they call the game?
Well, you know, back in that time, things were a lot different. I mean, you know, people did not, it was more so, it wasn't the first one to the gate so much back in that time. You know what I mean? People were really about trying to handle their business and make money, you know, to be successful, to prepare for their futures, to take care of their families. That's why a lot of people got involved in the drug game. It was so much money to be made at that time. You know, the temptations were there just as they are now, but there was so much more money to be made. But there's always someone, you know, lurking in the background that feels that they can handle that thing better than you. They feel as though, you know, they should be in the position that you're in, you know, and you're always going to run into that. That never changes But nowadays, there is no money to be made. You cannot beat the system. The time that you're facing when you get involved in the drug game is astronomical. You know what I mean? The mandatory minimums that they're trying to cut back now. You know, all of my friends either got 20, 30 years or life sentences or even death row. You know, it just, it's a no-win situation. So to get involved in that game, you're going to lose. You cannot beat that game. You cannot beat the system. You know, you may get a, you know, a year run here and there, but, you know, with more money comes more problems.
Right, right. And that's just the same thing I tell these youngsters too, Ms. Wright, when I speak to them. You know, it's like back in the 80s when everybody was getting money, you know, you could drop 10 birds at your homeboy and say, get at me in a week or two, you know what I mean? All the money going to be there, you know what I'm saying? Nowadays, there's no money to be made, like you said. It's nothing but a headache and your own people across you out for a few thousand dollars that can't even get them to China and back, you know? So it's just a deadly thing out here. And it's about, like I tell them, it's about this global hustle now. If you're going to hustle, global hustle. You know, you can get your PayPal account on the Internet. You can sell socks, shoes, drawers, hats, you know what I mean, around the globe. Now, that's the real hustle. What you think, Ms. Wright?
I agree. I agree 100%. It's just not worth it. I mean, people are not making enough money now to pay attorneys, you know, to make bails. The system has, you know, developed a process of what you have to go through just to pay a bail or just to make someone's bail is unbelievable. You have to have a paper trail of where your money comes from. Everything now is accountability. It used to be, you know, back in those times when people were arrested and you went to pay a bail, you just paid a bail. There was no questions asked, you know. If a bail was $50,000, you paid 10% of that bail and you went on, you know what I mean? And you kept it moving. But nowadays you can't do that from my understanding. You know, if you're working and you go to pay someone's bail, you have to produce your pay stubs. If you're putting up your house, there's a whole, you know, list of things that you have to go through to do that. You know, I watch these young kids nowadays. They're hustling for nothing. They're not making any money. They're still living at Big Mama's house. They don't have a car. You know what I mean? They can't make bails. They can't pay lawyers. They're working with public defenders. Your chances of going to jail with a public defender is almost 90% that you're not going to beat that case. You're going to take a plea deal. They're not giving out deals. There is no more first to the gate because everybody's running to the gate. All the institutions are filled with people, you know, trying to change places and trying to make deals. They're not doing that anymore.
No, they just sending you straight on away from them.
Exactly. So what is it all about? What are you getting from this?
Right. You know, what you're getting is a headache in a penitentiary case, you know what I mean? And like you said, Ms. Wright, back in our days, I'm 50, and I know you're around that age too. When we was in the game coming up back in the day, you always was prepared because you had your bondsman, you had your lawyer, you had your man that held the money. If you get caught up, your man knew to take that over there to the bondsman. Your lawyer knew what time it was. Nobody has that nowadays because they ain't even making that kind of money to even have that, like you said. They still at mama's house and just getting high all day and chilling, you know what I mean? And there's
exactly.
No money to be made on the block.
No, no. You know, I'm a little older than you, but, you know, back in those times, people were hustling for a reason. They were trying to get someplace. They were trying to do something.
Yes.
They had enough room to make a lot of money, to start
yes.
a business, to take that money and build for your future. Can't do that now. So my question to them is always, what is it for? What is it all about? What is it that you're trying to do? And then when the gunplay jumps off, you know, I talk about this in my documentary, you know, If you're in the game and there's no bodies coming up, there's no harm done to anyone, you might skate for a while. But how long is that going to last? Because there's always someone who wants to take your place. There's always someone who's going to challenge you. So you're dealing with the authorities. You're dealing with the people in the street. You're dealing with the people that's crossing you because they're not going to pay you. You know what I mean? They want to come at you crazy. You know, they want to take what you have. There's too many elements against you in these streets. So what is it all about? Get your education. You know, I always taught my son, get as much education as you can, because they can take the material things from you, but they can never take your education from you.
Amen, Ms. Wright. And just by you touching up on that, Ms. Wright, when your son found out what really was going down, how did that make him feel when you had to do that one-on-one with him?
Well, you know, it was really amazing, because by the time I had decided to sit my son down and talk to him about what I'd done, I had talked to him through his years, especially in his years of college, about his father, because my mother had always instructed me never to tell him things unless he asked. Once he asked those questions, you would know that he was ready for the answers. So It was in 2008 that I was approached by someone from Los Angeles who was interested in possibly getting the options to do my story. And there was no way that I would tell my story without first telling my son about his mother. And so by the time we had that discussion, he was already out of college. He had been out of college about 3 years. So, you know, it was very difficult for me. I think the most difficult of the whole entire story was the fact that I had been shot, you know, because I had never, you know, his father was never here to talk about what he had done. And when his father died, he was only 3 years old. So I never wanted to taint, you know, whatever ideas and thoughts that he had about his dad. You know, I know he held those sacred to his heart, so I never wanted to do anything to diminish that, you know what I mean? So that was the most difficult thing for me, to tell him, you know, things that his father and I had gone to way before, you know, he was born way before he was, these things happened before he was born, but I wanted him to know how much his father loved him and that everything we did was for his future, because Jackie and I always talked about and always planned that my son would have a better life than we did. We wanted to keep him out of the streets. We wanted to educate him as much as possible, give him the best education that money could buy. So that's what it was all about. And when my son said to me, you know, what he said to me was really amazing, because he said to me, Mom, I'm a grown man. Whatever you did, I know you did for us. He said, I'm good. I'm all right. So if you're going to tell it, you got to tell it all. So once he gave me that green light, I was good, because that was what it was all about, you know. I had no idea what the feedback was going to be like about my story, and, you know, I didn't have any idea that I would touch people the way I've been able to do, you know. It was more so something that I felt I needed to do for me and my son, to set the record straight about what really happened to his father. You know what I mean? To set the record straight about what went on in my life, it was actually a cleansing process for me. And it just took off. You know, people have really been amazed and touched by my story. So, you know, that's been a gift, you know, for me. The feedback that I've been getting has allowed me to be able to give back to people. So that's what it's all about now.
Right. And you know, when I've seen your story, Ms. Wright, I told my wife, I say, well, I'm going to have to try to get in touch with Ms. Wright people some kind of way, because her story definitely needs to keep floating on radio, TV, and everywhere, because your story is a real story, and it's a story of education, and it's a story of this is what you don't want to go through in life. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
Exactly.
This is what your story is, and it had meant a lot to me. So I'm going to pass the mic over to my missus. And once again, we just want to thank you again, Ms. Wright, for giving us this time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I wanted to have you go back a little bit and talk about how you met Jackie and what, you know, as a young teenage girl, you know, you said you had so much going for you. What drew you to him?
Well, excuse me. I had heard of Jackie prior to meeting him. During the late 70s, Philly was really jumping here. You know, there was the Sound of Philadelphia that was really kicking off. There was a lot of money being made in the city. And I had heard about him And one day walking home from work on South Broad Street, we made eye contact with each other. And I said to myself, that must be that guy, because I saw him driving that pretty red convertible Eldorado that I had heard about. And I said, oh, that must be that guy, you know, but I kept walking and he kept driving. And then later that summer, we were introduced by an associate of his. And he had a charisma and a charm. He was a charmer, and he was very handsome. And he was always really, really sharp. You know, back in those times, you know, guys were putting clothes on. They were dressing, you know what I mean, like Detroit and Chicago, New York. Billy right. Brothers were putting clothes on, you know what I'm saying? So he was that guy back then, very handsome guy, you know. And he was very personable and very polite and very caring, you know. But just as he had all those, you know, great qualities, he was very dangerous, you know. But I always felt very comfortable with him. I always felt very safe with him. You know, he always protected me. And he always made me feel very secure. And so, you know, it was very easy to fall in love with him.
Yes, you there, Miss Wright?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, she's right there.
Okay. So
can you hear me?
I can hear you now. It went out for just a second.
Okay.
So what was the first time that you guys actually went out and you knew that was going to be your man?
Well, when we met, we would run into – he was in another relationship and I was in another relationship when we first met. So when we would run into each other from time to time, we would just talk and have friendly conversation. He was very easy to talk to. And then a few months later, it was in November of 77 – he asked me to go out with him, and I was apprehensive because, you know, he was that guy. So, and as I said, he was 10 years older than me, so I couldn't imagine, you know, why he would want to take me out, you know. And so I was apprehensive about it, and he said, well, you know, we could take a ride, we could go to movies, whatever. And I said, okay, and I felt like I knew him, you know, because like I said, we would run into each other on the streets from time to time and talk. And we went out that night, and we rode half the night just talking. You know, we stopped, and we ate, and we laughed, and we talked, and I felt very comfortable with him. And that was it. I mean, from the first night we went out, that was it. It was just a chemistry that was there between us, you know, and it just lasted until his death.
Now, you mentioned that you got shot. What happened in that situation?
Well, we had been together, I'd say, almost 2 years by this time. And one of his associates had died suddenly of a heart attack. And they wasn't sure if, you know, what had happened. They wasn't sure if someone poisoned him or what had happened. And the city went into complete panic. And prior to that, Jackie had been shot himself, and he started taking pills and getting high, you know, periodically. And when his friend, when Large died, I believe they went into a panic. Well, I was working at the time, and he would either send someone to pick me up or he would pick me up himself. And this particular day was my birthday. And he sent his friend to pick me up from work, and I didn't understand why I hadn't talked to him all that day. So when I got off of work, mm-hmm. you know, I asked his friend, where was he? You know, why hadn't I seen him? And he said, well, you know, they were taking care of some business. I asked him where he was. He told me where he was. I said, okay, I'm going to drive over there. He said, well, I'm going to go with you. And when I met up with Jackie, he was high, and he was a little upset. You know, they were had been out all day, I guess, trying to collect money that was out in the streets, because back in that time, and I guess even in this time, I would assume, you know, when someone dies and you're in the game, they think, well, the debt's been paid. I don't have to pay the debt. But that wasn't the case. So we had a few words. You know, I asked him, you know, why hadn't I talked to him that day, and he kind of flagged me off, you know, look, I'm busy. I got some things I got to do. I got to collect this money, go home. I'll see you when I get home. And I was upset with him. And but I listened and I said, okay, you know, and I went to walk away. And when I walked away, I turned around and I looked back at him, you know, in a very upset look on my face with my head kind of tilted. And I guess he didn't like that. And as I went to walk away and I turned back and looked back, I could see the gun. But I still, I didn't have a fear. You know, I saw the gun. I'd seen him with guns before. And as I took the next step, I collapsed. And he had shot me in the leg. And everybody went into complete panic. You know, and I write about that in my book With Eyes on Both Sides. I talk about that whole scene and, you know, how that happened and, you know, me just not understanding, you know, why he would pull a weapon out on me. I was not a threat to him. I would never have done anything to hurt him. He knew that. But I guess it was being in his right mind, you know, and that's what happened with the shooting.
Wow. And how did he feel about that afterwards?
Well, he called my mom, you know, from my understanding, from what he said and what my mother said, he called her immediately after they told him to leave, his friends told him to leave, that I would be okay, they would take care of me. And he immediately went and he called my mother and he told her what he had done. And he said that he didn't mean to do it. He said it was an accident, he didn't mean to do it, but he just shot too straight. And then after I was released from the hospital, we talked. And he kept trying to convince me, you know, that he didn't mean to do it, that he was sorry, it was an accident. And I said, but why? My whole question was, why would you pull a gun out on me? I was not a threat to you. I never tried to hurt you in any way. I never could understand why he did that. But eventually I just accepted it. You know, we did break up for a period of time. It wasn't a long period of time. And I refer to that in my book as crazy love because that's what it was. You know, anytime you're in a relationship with someone and they hurt you in any way, it's a relationship that you don't need to be in, especially when it's physical abuse, even if it's mental abuse. You know, when someone loves you, they shouldn't hurt you.
Right. And even if he was pulling the gun out to maybe just scare you or, you know, that's still, you know, that's a form of domestic violence. It's a threat.
That's exactly what it is. And, you know, I think that we women need to understand and accept things for what they are and not rewrite the handwriting. You know, it is what it is. But at that time, I rewrote it, you know. I never wanted to accept that it was what it was. And I never, you know, I never felt as though at that time that I could live without him. I just loved him so, you know. And we have to learn to love from afar, you know. If that love is going to hurt you, if that love is bringing you harm, then you have to learn to love from afar.
That's right. So what advice would you give out there to young girls, good girls that like the bad boys?
Well, I understand perfectly well, you know, how women are attracted to bad boys because we women, we want to feel as though that, you know, the man that we're with, that he loves us, that he's going to provide for us, that he's going to protect us, that he's going to profess his love. And bad boys will do that. They will stand up for you. You know, they will kill the world for you. But we also need to understand that we women need to get as much education as we can to be able to provide for ourselves, to have bigger and better options for ourselves. You know, and I think that if we do that, we're less apt to go in that direction. You know, our options become greater. You know what I'm saying? So my key and what I'm stressing to women, you know, when I'm speaking and, you know, and promoting my book and telling my story, I'm pleading with women to get their education, to educate yourself as much as you can to be able to provide for yourself. those are the things that I'm pushing for our women.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that whole era back, you know, with the gangster era, I think it maybe it's starting to fade away a little bit, but it was so big that people thought, you know, like you said, a lot of people did it for necessity in the beginning. You know, if I can do this, I can, you know, get out of the ghetto, or I can get out of the hood, or, you know, I can have that nice house on top of the hill. But then they get greedy, and that's when, you know, things start turning bad. But, you know, nowadays, like you said, it doesn't, it's not like it was back in that era, and it never will be again. But if we can just educate the youth, men and women, boys and girls, to get their education, to be able to, you know, wait and don't have your kids, don't get pregnant, you know, get your education first, go to school, and you still can have that nice car and that house on the hill. You don't have to use drug money to get it. You can have an education. You can start your own business. You can, I mean, there's so many things in this world that you can do and achieve and accomplish without doing the wrong things. So we just need to, you know, it's not wrong to have all those nice things. It's just there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it.
Exactly. And they need to understand that, because once you have your education, as I said before, they can't take that from you. You know, education,
exactly.
Degrees, things like that, they cannot take. But those material things, especially when you acquire them the wrong way, you know, illegally through drug money, various things like that, you can lose all of those things. They can take those things from you.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to hand that mic back over to Rob. I know we have a caller, maybe one or two, and then I'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Wright. We're going to take a commercial break, Ms. Wright, and we're going to play a song for you called California Dreaming, and we're going to be right back with Ms. Thelma Wright. Hold on, everybody.
The hottest newspaper in Arizona. Buckeye Valley News. If you'd like to advertise, contact Sharon at 623-386-4426. That's 623-386-4426. And say, the streets don't love you back. Sent you.
I've been for Help Free G.I., California Political Prisoner of the Year, Mr. G.I. Johnson, film, TV, and record producer, is campaigning for freedom and justice against a wrongful police shooting, cover-up, and conspiracy. Please join in support with your help and donations by buttons, download, shirts, hats at the FreeGIProject.org. Your help is very needed. And help Free G.I. FreeGIProject.org. The FreeGIProject.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the hottest radio show worldwide, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and we're still kicking it right here with Ms. Thelma Wright in the house. Ms. Wright, we got you back on the air, and we got a few callers right here that we're going to start taking right now, Ms. Wright.
Okay.
All right. All right, caller, you on the air, 2295, last four digits. You there, caller? All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 4120. You there, caller?
Hello?
Yeah, you there, caller?
Yeah, yeah, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. Would you like to ask Ms. Wright a question? You've been listening to the show tonight.
Yeah, Ms. Wright, how you doing? What's the name of the book again? I was trying to write it down. Where can I get that book?
The title of the book is With Eyes from Both Sides. And you can get it at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Or you can get it on my website.
Yeah, get that website out, Ms. Wright.
My website is www.thelma, and that's T-H-E-L-M-A, B as in boy, W-R-I-G-H-T-E.com, ThelmaBWright.com.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Yeah, I was listening to the story. It's very impelling, and I appreciate the Streets Don't Love You Back. This is G.I. Johnson just calling in to check in with Brother Boyd and Lucinda. Good show that y'all got going on, man. I appreciate everything y'all doing. And it's a good way to get the message out to these youngsters out there because, they need to know that these streets, everything is wrong in them right now. And they're fast money, and it's not what the best way to do. Go to school, go to college, get your education, and become something with yourself, something positive, And that's real, and I appreciate this story and bringing it to the airwaves, man.
Hey, we appreciate that, my brother, And once again, like I say, we just appreciate Ms. Wright for taking time out to deliver her powerful message to educate these women, men, youth, and others, that at the end of the day, it's there for the penitentiary. There's no in-between, You can't be a gangster in the government and still think you're going to ride 10 or 15, 5 years. That don't happen no more out here. That's dead. Yes. And Ms. Wright, what would you like to respond back to his question?
I'd like to thank him for his support, and hopefully you can, check the book out and hit me up, with your review of the book, and I appreciate the support.
That's what I was about. So everybody who's listening to this show tonight, we want everybody to go buy a copy of that book, And it's a great book, and it's a great read to learn from. So one more time, Ms. Wright, I want you to get that website out to the viewers one more time.
Yes, the title of the book is With Eyes from Both Sides, Living My Life in and Out of the Game. My website is www.thelma, and that's T-H-E-L-M-A-B. WRIGHT.com, ElmaBWright.com. You can also purchase it at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. And if you're in Philadelphia, that will be Black & Nobel at Broad & Erie. That's the bookstore at Broad & Erie, Black & Nobel.
Amen, right there, And Ms. Wright, I wanted to just ask you also, what are you doing now? I know you always have gave back to the community, even when you was doing your wrongdoings. But But update the people, what are you doing now in your community of Philly with the women and men?
Currently, I am working for a nonprofit organization. I deal with women who have transitioned from drug, alcohol treatment, and mental health. And I work as a property manager right now, but I'm also interacting with women who are single heads of household and their children. So, you know, I do speaking engagements. I will travel and do speaking engagements. I do book signings, appearances, you know, wherever I speak at schools. I've spoken recently at Penn State in the criminal justice classes at the Abington campus as well as the Brandywine campus. I speak in the alternative schools for our youth. Last year I was a keynote speaker at the Women's Correctional Facility, Riverside Correctional Facility in Philadelphia. So I'm trying to get in where I can fit in, wherever I can go to get the word out, you know, about my story. And I'm saying, listen, this is what went on with me, you know, just because I was able to escape with no drug time, you know. God blessed me for a reason to be able to come back and say, hey, you don't want to do this. You do not want to get involved in this game. This is a no-win. There's only two options. That is death and jail, nothing else.
Yeah. And that's for real. So I'm going to pass the mic over to the missus, and you're doing a great, great thing, Ms. Wright, and I just want you to keep up doing the work that God got you doing out here to help save lives, you know. Just keep pushing like you're doing, you know what I mean, because it's all on the right point.
Thank you so much, and once again, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. I wanted to ask you and have you talk a little bit about what made you decide that it was time to get out of the game.
Well, as I said earlier, once those three things happened to me, and they happened very quickly, in July of 1991, my friend was murdered, July 11th to be exact. 2 weeks later, one of my associates was busted. 3 weeks' time, my connect in Los Angeles was murdered. So that was it. That was a wrap for me. That was three things, you know. And I realized they were all very close. One thing had something to do with me. The other two were situations where they happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. But these were people that I loved dearly. These were people that were very close to me. And these were people that was all involved in the drug game. So I knew that was it. Because if I did not pay attention to the signs that were given to me, that I was going to either go to jail or I was going to get killed, and I did not want that to happen. You know, my whole thing was, what's going to happen to my son if something happens to me? So, you know,
that was the decision that I made.
Pardon me?
How old was your son when you decided to get out of it?
My son was, you see, 1991, he was 8. He was 8 years old.
So you just walked away from it. Completely.
I just completely walked away. That's right, completely walked away. No jail time, no drug usage. You know, and I went to work. I started out with a job making something like $19,000 a year. I probably had made $19,000 in a couple of seconds. So, you know, but it was all about my safety. It was all about the safety of my son. It was all about my freedom, you know, and it was all about living my life and being alive to be here to raise my son. That was my priority. It was not about the money. It was not about the material things, because I had all of that. And, you know, just to be able to walk away and not look back was a wonderful thing, you know. It was difficult at first, you know, because now you're adjusting from one particular lifestyle to another lifestyle. But I was very happy, you know. I was very happy, and I felt very comfortable, and I felt at peace.
Did you ever feel after that anybody from the past would maybe come and try to do something?
No, I never The only thing I was concerned about, the possibility of getting a conspiracy charge for the case that my associate, you know, did get. I was worried about that because if he would have connected me to that case, there was a possibility that I could have gotten a conspiracy charge, but I did not have a record. So it was, you know, at that time and during that time, I may have just walked away with that. You know, I would have had to fight it. It would have been an uncomfortable situation to be in, but there was a strong possibility I could have beat it. But I didn't even want to go through that, you know. But that was the closest that I ever came to anything like that, and that was very scary for me, you know. It had only been 5 years since my husband's death, so I still wasn't over that. I never really mourned that situation until some years later, you know.
Right.
So it was very scary, you know what I mean? And I realized that that was a business that I really never should have gotten involved in. But I just felt very grateful, you know, even to this day. I thank God every day that I was able to walk away like that. Who can do that? You know, how many people can say, you know, I just walked away? And people ask me, well, how are you able to do that? I was able to do that because I was the connect. I didn't owe anyone any money. Now, had I had a tab someplace, I probably could not have walked away like that without paying that tab. And I don't advise anyone to try to do that, you know, without paying your tab, because you're going to have a problem. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But by me being the connect, by me being the person that people were getting the drugs from, I was able to say, "Ooh, I'm done. That's it. I'm done with that. I don't never want to do that again, ever."
Now, you mentioned your brothers and your family. Did any of your brothers get involved in the life, or did they ever try to keep you away from it?
Oh, no. They were never, none of my siblings were ever involved in the game. I'm quite sure they may have socially, you know, like a lot of people did, they probably socially got high or something, never around me, never with me, because I never got high. But they were in corporate America. My brother worked for the post office until he retired. I have another brother who's in corporate America to this day. He's actually getting ready to retire. My sisters are younger than I am, and they just had very good jobs, you know. I was the only one who got involved in that game, you know, to that capacity like that.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, we know that, you know, it's a lot of people say, you know, I can't get out of it. I can't turn my back. And you hear kids say this, you know, I can't get out of the game. You know, I'll get, you know, killed or something. But people, you can walk, turn around and walk right away. You don't have to let people control you and use you and abuse you. You know, you have the right to make your decisions, and you have the right, you know, to walk away from the gangs or the drugs or the game, you know. What's your advice on that?
You know, I'm a firm believer that we people can do whatever you want to do. You just have to put your mind to, and you have to make a decision that this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I want to do. It may not be as easy for some as it is for others, you know, but you can do it. You can seek the resources to do it. You can seek the help to do it if that's what you really want to do. But what I have learned about life, period, is that reach out. You know, you sometimes things are bigger than you, and sometimes you do need help. Don't be afraid to ask for help if that's what you need. Do what you need to do to better yourself. Do what you need to do to help yourself. But I do believe that people can walk away if that's what they really want to do, but you have to want it. It's not something I can tell you to do. It has to be something that you want to do, and I wanted to do that. It wasn't nobody needed to tell me anything. I knew when those three things happened just like that, boom, 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 that was it. I'm done. I didn't need to consult with anybody. I didn't need to ask anybody. I just went underground, and it was something that I knew I wanted to do for me and for my child.
Right. Well, you know you made the right decision, because you could have waited another week or two, and you could have, I mean, you could be doing life in prison or something, and then your son wouldn't have had a mom or a dad, you know.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Definitely, you definitely did the right thing, and we commend you on that. And we just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with the world. You know, it's we just have to get these messages out there that you can change your life, and you don't have to live that way just because you were put in that situation, you know. And like you said, you can do anything you want to do in this world if you just put your mind to it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I would like to give my website out once again. I'm so sorry for my voice tonight, but these allergies and a cold has really been working me. But my website is www.selmabewright.com. And the title of the book is With Eyes from Both Sides, Living My Life in and Out of the Game. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you, you know, reaching out and taking the time to bring me on to your show.
Well, you're welcome. And we wish you all the best, and we hope that you get over your little cold. And I'm going to turn the mic over to Rob here just before we end the show. Thank you once again for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Wright. Yeah, once again, we want to say we appreciate you coming on here, sharing your message, and tell Ms. Smith, you know what I mean, I kept my word. I wasn't going to hold you past 12:30, and we're gonna keep it moving, you know. So any last great words you would like to give to our viewers and our youth out here before we close out, Ms. Wright?
Yes, I would like to say for anyone that's still involved in that game, please think about the consequences that you're facing. You know, your run will not be long. you know, as I said, they cannot win this drug game, but they are containing it. So it is something that you need to seriously think about, and you need to walk away as well. God bless to everyone, and thank you once again for having me.
We appreciate that. And before you go, Ms. Wright, we want to just play a song. It's called Never Give Up, and we're going to dedicate that to you and your family with our closing out. Is that okay with you?
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well. So we're closing the show out with Never Give Up, and we dedicating that to Ms. Wright and her family. And it's from our homeboy, OG Suicide, from out in Cali. Here we go.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect.
I love you.
You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, never give up. No matter what it is in life, you can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know. I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
That's all right.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Don't let it come to a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals, stay focused on you. Focus your view, succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard or go home, never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get, appreciate what you got. You can always improve, just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Take a chance like rolling the dice. It won't come to you.
Just a story that some when that's the time. We're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this time. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try, try.
Fresh but broke like me. Wish that I could ball like them ballers on the street. Living that everyday man life. Made me take a step back, look at myself and check mine. Now I ain't leaving till I get mine. Trying to keep the distance between that hate and that greed. Murder, between Satan and me. And all them problems that it come with is more than one need. Me, been the rest of mathematics on them all. Put your hands up, drop your bags when you out them all. Send it back to the block. Big money grip, still hungry for them chips. Don't make me flip. Carter's brain with the diamond chips. I just bought a new whip. Can it paint a double dip? Every day I'm trying to get it, trying to bubble. It's my life and my struggle.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try,
really distress in my eyes. It is 18 to 25, yet still I rise. And I'm black and proud. My people say it loud. Walking like I talk and hold your head above the clouds and smile. Never let them see you sweat, I bet. The streets is always watching, catch you slipping, chicken hawking. Shami's out here walking, listening to the music. If you pay attention, I'll show you how to use it. I flip flows on shows like life is so abusive. Adapt and overcome the struggle like how he do it. I prove it, showing the world I am a king. Sing to the rhythm, my queen. This is your dream. Man in the building, example for all to see. Life can be a bitch, keep stroking until you ski.
Keep stroking.
Stand on your own, keep fighting and never leave. Foundation is the knowledge I'm kicking, we're gonna bleed.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try, try. See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. You're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try, try.
Shh. 9/11. They think we don't know. Oklahoma City, Agenda 21.
They know some of us.
No, but they think
y'all didn't know I was gonna come like this.
Y'all ain't FEMA camps. The barbed wire pointed in. These are my current events.
Infowars.com. Now hear this. Better listen to what they say. They ain't just talking shit. There's a war out here. No one is safe from.
Doesn't matter how many rounds or how big your gun.
It comes down to one thing. Knowledge is power. Go read some articles. Just spend an hour. Contemplating Infowars. Or find them on YouTube. You'll be surprised how much it'll change your mood. Stock up your drop food. Verify your water.
Don't buy into mainstream media. Don't even bother.
Teach one. Go tell your father, your mother, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, and daughter. The temperature is rising. It'll only get hotter. I hear what they're saying. I will be their cannon fodder. I will be their example. No, not me. Not my kids, my wife, my friends. No, none of my family. There's a war on information. And the planet's a prison.
Side of you wrong.
Let's make a decision.
I've made a decision.
To make an incision.
Cut out the bullshit.
Goodbye, good riddance.
There's a war on information.
And the planet's a prison.
Side of you wrong.
Let's make a decision.
I've made a decision.
Make an incision.
Cut out the bullshit.
Goodbye, good riddance.
I feel you, Alex Jones.
But not like the TSA.
I hear you, Alex Jones.
I'm listening to what you say.
You got them on the run. They know we're marching their way.
All the knowledge and history and maybe a few guns.
They can't fool us.
We're not the ones.
They can lie to some, but not to all.
As we stand up, down they fall. We're taking our stance back. Liberties and all. We ain't playing their games. We're taking the ball.
We're patriots. They best heed the call.
As they're walking through the valley, they should watch where rock falls. They can't stop us all. There's strength in numbers.
Many hands make light work. We can watch them crumble.
Fumble and fall. Run and crawl.
Warning shot, we are coming, that is all.
There's a war on information
and the
1776.
We ain't gonna be your slaves, we ain't gonna be your bitches, we ain't gonna be your punks, we ain't gonna be your tricks.
When you come, you'll find us shooting bullets and flicks.
It's just a bunch of bullshit, so feel this, when we stick it won't hurt, just a little prick.
They don't care, get back, take a hit of your own itch.
This is just a preview of what is coming.
Round the pike, or down the knife. If you don't respect us, we don't respect your life.
This is not a threat, it's a warning to you. So you're coming after us, we're not chasing after you.
Sun, you'll get burned like toast.
From coast to coast and sea to shining sea, we won't stand for this ish. No, none of your tyranny.
If a war, information,
and the planet's a prison.
Inside of you all,
let's make a decision.
I've made a decision
to make an incision.
Cut out the bullish,
goodbye, good riddance.
If a war, information,
and the planet's a prison.
Inside of you all,
let's make a decision.
I've made a decision
to make an incision.
Cut out the bullish,
goodbye, good riddance.
Yo, this your man T-Rob, the Quiet Giant, and you are listening to The Streets Don't Love You Back with Rob and Lucinda Boyd. We Global Blunt Entertainment Universal, baby. Don't forget that, you.
Hey, are you looking for a new look and be fresh and hot at the same time? Well, my peeps, check out The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel. T-shirts, thermals, tank tops, sweatshirts, camisole, hoodies, shorts, fitted caps, leggings, snapback caps, capris, jeans, beanies and scullies, backpacks, and much, much more. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel for men, women, and children. Log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel. A better way for a new look and be fresh. It's the book release by author Donna Buchanan. The name of the book, Second Chance Running, will be released in paperback and on ebook on September the 30th, 2013. It's a powerful story to learn from. Released from prison July 4th, 2013, she is now educating our youth and others after spending 13 years in prison. She is a member of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, ran by Rob and Lucinda Boyd. She became a member while in prison. For more information, go to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com.
Help free G.I., California Political Prisoner of the Year, Mr. G.I. Johnson, film, TV, and record producer, is campaigning for freedom and justice against a wrongful police shooting, cover-up, and conspiracy. Please join the support with your help and donations by buttons, downloads, shirts, hats at the freegiproject.org. Your help is very needed. And help free G.I. freegiproject.org. thefreegiproject.org.
The paranoia, the shadow people, you start seeing random shadows thinking that people are following you. You're in a house, you think everyone's out to get you, even though they're supposed to be your friends, you think. You think everyone just hates you, basically. My name is Alan. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I started doing meth when I was 16 years old. One thing I do a lot of is steal from my family. That was probably the most hurtful. I take everything that they liked, and I would go and trade them for drugs, or I'd go to a pawn shop and pawn them off, just for just maybe 20, 30 bucks just to get high. My morals were pretty messed up at the time. All my reservations were gone. I said I'd never steal from my family. I would never steal from a random individual. I've done all those. I had to get to that point to where I lost everything. Family gave up on me. Pretty much had nobody but myself, which I did to myself, so.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the hottest radio show worldwide. The Streets and Love You Back, and we're kicking it with my homeboy, like I always do, G.I. in the house. What's good, G.I.?
Oh, man, I'm just giving thanks and praises, man. You know, I appreciate everything y'all doing. The Streets Don't Love You Back, man. It's an awesome movement. You know, it's just a wonderful thing, man. I'm just giving thanks and praises each and every time, man, because, you know, you can't never give up on things that you're doing, and that's what's real. You know, that's real life, that's real, and everything that you do, you start something, you finish it. Until you finish it, don't give up, no matter what it is,
Bottom line, that's what time it is, you know. So, yeah, man, you know, we just riding, and you always ride with me after we do our guests. You always slide in and ride with me the next half hour, you know. And that's what I'd be loving about you, man. I'd be appreciating that, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. We appreciate you. The Streets Don't Love You Back, and you and your wife, Miss Lucinda, you know, y'all putting in the movement, man. Y'all feeding the homeless. Y'all doing fundraisers and toy drives and just helping other people out in the communities, man. And, you know, just we just giving back with the movement. The Streets Don't Love You Back, you know, with the Free GI Project.
Man, we just trying to do what God, you know what I mean, put before us, man, you know what I mean, and let him guide us down the way, you know what I mean? That's what time it is, you know? So we're going to keep this ball moving, and I'm going to hit everybody with another track. And this track right here is called You Played Yourself. I released this track off my label back in 1998, you feel me? So we're going to hit everybody with that track right there, because there's so many cats out here that be playing themselves, you know? So we got to let you hear this track tonight, you feel me? So you just hold tight. We'll be right back with you, G.I.
Okay, cool. Bump it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is B.O.Y.D. and Struggle coming straight at you, baby. Much love to my homeboys up in Detroit off Van Eyck and Harbor. Much love goes out to my homeboys in Cincy that's always kept it real. And to your player haters, this goes out to you.
No need to look any further, look like brother, what you thought? Boy, Greg is knocking you out like Robitussin does it go. Made you pull up with this northern exposure, smoking doja, and I'm coming on the real. Yes, the real, I thought I told ya, and I'm keeping it to your bloodstream just like HIV. Stand away from all them player-hating people with degrees, it's time to come up. Brother, you better not run up, because you put your faith and your plans into another man's head. That move is bogus, struggles here to let you know this, that you never ever be a part of the dopest. Who put your faith in the spot, who cooled it off when it was hot, who made it live when it was weak, now you can't even speak. It's time to nut check, time for respect, time to break necks. You wanted out the family, now it's time for you to check. And you chasing waterfalls, it wasn't meant, fool. In other words, you played yourself, now who's cool? Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, 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 you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. You played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. Wait a minute, you played yourself, because you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Partner, you played yourself, you tried to engage yourself with some people who didn't have no freaking wealth. So how's your health? Ain't nothing good gonna come out your freaking game, cause everything you do bad gonna come back twice the pain. Who's to blame? Listen to the black rain, about to shake the ground for all you backstabbing people in this town. I'm known to bring the anger, make you hiss like a snake. Here's a hint from my partner.
Break it down in your face.
Hey, yo, I'm biggity black up in you, two dissect you like a chemist. You played yourself, and I was a witness. Your career's finished. Don't be misled by the words that I speak. I keep it real, you had a taste of both sides, not how it feels.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
No, 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 you played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself, cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them, and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother.
No, brother, don't test me, no.
You be like that Benedict Arnold backstabbing brother behind my back. But in my face, you be like struggle, yo. Where the party at? I be like push on. Get on, get out my face, partner. Cause ain't no love lost, it ain't no love here neither. I can't believe that you betrayed me. Took food from my bed, but you have been acting kinda shady lately. So I got to push you to the curb, fly away like a bird. Partner, you need to stop smoking all that herb. If you would've came to me, Imano, Imano, we would've squashed it at the gate. But you chose to segregate, play a hate, get it straight. Partner, you played yourself.
No, 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 you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
Brother, relax your mind and let your conscience be free. Get down to the sounds of struggling I'll be. Your negativity be scratching against my surface. Cause the things that I did for you, your ass didn't deserve it. Now I'm on some payback for the things you did like way back. Answering all your questions like my name was Bat Sajak. Jesus had 12 disciples and one wasn't true. And he knew, like I knew, I never ever should've messed with you. So I'm gonna do what I gotta do and then some. If a brother try to flex, I take his life for ransom. Even when I'm by myself, I roll with a crew of soldiers. Sick as flu with soldiers. Known to turn your body black and blue, I told you. Why did you test me? I'm the one who put you on. See, if it wasn't for me, you'd be like a mobile phone or wrong cheek. It ain't no me and us. It ain't no he and we. I thought we would be together like OJ and AC. You were that brother I pull a trigger for. You a freaking beard for. Now you just that off-brand nigga role. You played yourself. No, 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 no. I said you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, partner, you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute. You played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them. But don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
Why did you test me in this game, player? I told you don't ever tempt me. But now I gotta come at you for real now. You should've kept it real. But when you don't keep it real, situations sometimes get hectic in your life. But you should've understood. So why did you play yourself, player? I look at you all the time when you don't think I see you. I see you. Us boys up north, baby. We got our own way of dealing with player haters.
Come on. Bring it in. Bring it in. Come on.
And I don't think you should ever did what you did. Sometimes I know you had nightmares waking up sweating and things. When it coming in. When it coming in.
Many styles
I exhibit in the liver. So you better pay attention to the story. Blowing out smoke and I breathe, feeling it's potent. It's weed, it's too easy to do all of the wrong things. See this weed, I inhale, but it helps to relieve all the tension and stress. Now I'm like, what's next? Now I'm like, what's next? Went from Maserati Rick to Revolutionary Rick. Please believe they coexist, but of course that's really not important. And my father was distributing the shit in portions. But of course that's really not important. If you need some entertainment, I'm giving you all or nothing. You call it something for nothing. Some niggas hustle for nothing. Take it for what it's worth. It's worth much more than
know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen.
I'm chillin', money folding. Even if I don't fit the description of a drug dealer, I used to be musty, trust me. Now I spit sick, I'm a fly MC like Dusty. So these haters stay lost in the sauce like ingredients. I move with expedience and discipline, I got it. My profit is the knowledge, as a prophet I am conscious. Plus I'm looking like my father, and I act just like him. But I'm no drug dealer, see I'm a soul healer. My words is spiritual poetry, flowing like the ocean or the seven seas. Fuck the money and the fame. See, my name is my name, and the game is the game. So you better know the name, and you better know the difference, just in case I forgot to mention. That's 'cause everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. They never wanna listen.
Know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking.
Have a dream, show some love, and take a ride down memory lane. Just me and her, listening to music that I love. Hey love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey love, you can be my brown sugar.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had money, cell phone, or a pager, just me and my girl listening to hip hop. Mama used to say it reminded her of bebop, but dancing to Michael, see the music is a cycle. Remembering good times, Soul Train is really a good thing. I'm feeling too good, nah, I might just need a drink, might just reminisce. I know that she feeling this, she listening to Mary J. Baby girl looking good and she came my way. Let's play some OJs, let's unwind, slow it down two step. Nah, clap with me one time, she feeling good too, like it's summertime. Girl, I get around in my hometown, you can come too. I love you like soul food for the love that we had.
Have a dream, show some love, and take a ride down memory lane. Just me and her, listening to music that I love. Hey love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey love, you can be my brown sugar.
Now we smooth operating, it's just me and my lady slow dancing the side day. She's sipping the wine slow, I put on some Pendergrass and light up a candle. She feeling that heat wave, we dance the night away. Shout out to the DJ for playing the right one. He put on another song, it sound like Marvin Gaye or maybe some Isleys. No matter where we be, she be right beside me. We go good together like sugar, honey, and tea. Loving memory lane, I play her another song. Now she feeling candy rain in the soul for real. Telling her how I feel, now she wanna take a trip with me around the world. Feeling like I'm in love, and I hope that she feel what I feel. So I know that it's real, so I know that it's real.
So I know that it's real.
Now that's love.
Hey love,
now wait
our girl, walking memory lane, thinking the summer days, telling me how she feel. Listen to Lauryn Hill, beautiful how she sings. I put on some Mal Green, getting her in the mood, not rushing into a thing. I'm feeling like Rick James, we high up Mary Jane. She the girl in my dreams, she my earth, wind and fire. Whenever we be together, no arguing with each other. Music keep us together, getting us through the weather. Feeling the summer breeze, call you my summer girl. Like Jodeci, I'm a fiend, traveling around the world. Ribbon up in the sky, writing it on the wall. I put on some MJ, she my pretty young thing. We remember the time, so we had to escape down memory lane. All alone, just me and my girl with a song. That's the life that I love, come on.
And welcome right back here to the hottest radio show worldwide. And we're still kicking it with my homie G.I. tonight. And we're about to close out the show tonight. G.I., any last words you'd like to say, homie?
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you, man. You know, it's like sending a shout out to all my family, my loved ones, my mom, everybody. Just, you know, send a shout out.
My man. And we got another caller, man, I'm going to put in. Just got on the line. Last four digits, 2484. You on there, caller?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, how you doing, the caller? You came in late, but we're getting you in.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold you too long. This, you know, my name is Osoya Hawkins out of Abilene, Texas. I'm the founder of Team Speak Out. You have sent many invitations to us to come on to the Blog Talk Radio. And,
yes.
And tonight I had an opportunity to come on to let you know that here pretty soon here in the future you'll be having us more on your talk radio show.
And we appreciate that because you're always welcome.
Yes, because, you know, this is the first time, you know, I get a lot of email. And tonight was the right time for me to come in. I listened to when Ms. Wright was on there speaking, and I said,
Thank you.
Me call in. And I don't want to be a stranger to y'all, and somewhere or another we can work together here. And we also have a Blog Talk Radio. But I'm calling in to, you know, to show my support for you. And I'm glad y'all persisting and being patient with us, and we're gonna continue to have open communication with you.
Hey, we appreciate that, good brother. And you know, while you're on the air tonight, give them your Blog Talk Radio show website. You know, go ahead and throw that on out there. You know.
Okay, you can go to our website. It's www.teamspeakout.com. teamspeakout.com. If you go to that, it's a social network. It's been up for like 5 years, and you can basically go there and you can hear some of our Blog Talk Radio. At this point in time, we're doing some restructuring of teams because we're coming back stronger than we was, you know, for like 2 years ago, much stronger and better, and we have expanded since that time period. And we get ready to do something really great, and we want to work with you. And you've been very persistent. Well, you've been very persistent, and I get a lot of emails. You just don't imagine. But now we got the teamwork that is coming together, that is going to help take this thing to a greater level.
Yes, Yeah, you know, and I appreciate that, man, because, you know, me and my wife, we started the Streets Don't Love You Back movement back in 2009, and that's when my book came out, The Streets Don't Love You Back, my autobiography, and we've been doing our thing ever since, you know what I mean, educating and directing these youngsters to what's really real out here, you know, because the game is over with, man. You ain't going to make no millions like you did in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and early 90s. So you might well stop that and go ahead and do this global hustle with these PayPal accounts and get you something to do and do your thing or go to college or what have you. But, you know, our whole focus is catching them while they're young, you know what I'm saying, and educating them all the way around the gate.
Well, we're going to be working together because, you know, we're on the same page. And right now, you know, while I have breath in me, I know we are the bridge for the future for our children. And that's one of my goals right now. And I see, because I have a grandchild, we're working on some great things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I've learned in the past, you put what your plans into action and don't speak too much of it. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, just put it out there. Let it happen.
Yeah, because we learn in the, you know, in the past, you know, we as a young organization, we never knew what the political influence really have out there. When you have an organization, teams speak out when international. It started off with a concept, with a dream of giving the young people forum to speak. And we was able to reach out. We were speaking from Baltimore, Maryland every Sunday. We still have that option to us. You know,
amen.
We grew so fast, it just, you know, we didn't understand the pressure that was behind it. But this time, we're coming out, we're going to be different. And we're going
to
reach out with you. Yes, it is.
That's exactly what time it is, man. And we really, really appreciate, you know, us locking down together and educating, you know. And me and my wife, we do a lot behind the walls, too. You know, we got 150 prisons that we got soldiers in that educate men and women. And, you know, it's just a great thing that you're catching them also when they're on their way back out, the ones that got an out date, you know.
That's correct.
Yeah, so we just planting seeds all the way around the globe, man. And I'm just thanking God that my wife and me is able to do the things we do, and God just steady going to keep blessing us, you know.
Well, I'm looking forward to open more communication with you and being more on your Blog Talk Radio. Just give us a few more weeks here, and when we got more things in order, because we're planning out this, and we want to be more, you know, of a participant what you're doing, so we can all work together, because the task that we're doing is greater than you and I. It's you know, we got a work cut out for us. And,
It's a big picture,
and it's like I tell anybody, you know, it's like sometimes you get discouraged, you know the adversary the adversary never sleeps, and but you know when you have a mission, you know, and I believe you're just like me, you know, failing is not in your vocabulary.
No, that's
you know?
Not even
and,
my option, baby.
That's right, and that's what we are. We come up in the time period. We have to stand for our children because, you know, without us, they don't have a clue what's going on.
They decide with their homeboy, and their homeboy don't even have a clue with what's going on, you know. So that's why it takes people like you and I and other cats that's out here on the battlefield, you know. I tell anybody, man, you know, I don't knock nobody that go to church or the preacher in the pulpit, but, you know, my job, and I know my role in the game, is on the battlefield, and that's in the streets, you know what I'm saying, where I come from, you know. So that's where we got to mainly stay at, because the Father walked among us anyway, you know what I'm saying. So that's where it
that's
all starts at for me.
You know, it's amazing. You know, some of the old songs you used to grow up in the church, you just got to say, I'm on the battlefield. Then you wonder why sometimes why they sing those songs. But when you're going through the things that you go in your life, them songs come back to remembrance.
Oh, amen, brother.
You know, But this generation coming up, you know, now they just don't have no clue, and it's like it's going to take us, you know, pulling our heads together. It's like denying yourself for the purpose for them to live, you know.
Amen.
And now I'm understanding this, and I believe that's why you're doing what you're doing. You know, no greater love than this, that you lay your life down. And it's like, I don't have to say no more because I know you understand this, you know.
Oh, yeah, you without know? A doubt, man. You know what I mean? It's just a good thing that like minds, like spirits can get together and we be on one accord and helping save a life. You know, we can't save the world, but we can save the ones who choose to be saved, you know. And that's the true focus right there. And I pray for the other ones that's still lost in the wilderness, you know. But the ones who's ready to get that help, that's the ones that we put on the pedestal to give them help and put them out there and educate them to do the right thing, you know what I'm saying? So that's basically what it's all about at the end of the day.
That's correct. So we're going to be talking to you more here, and I'm blessed that I saw you know, you. I said, I said 11 o'clock. I said, let me get in. Let me 11:30. I said, let me get in right quick. You know, and so I listened to.
Well, I'm glad you had the time to listen, man. You know what I'm saying? And you got our email, right?
Yes. You know, because I get so many. I'm telling you, tonight was just one of these nights. I look, cause most of the time when I get, and during the daytime, I get from a lot of people. But tonight I looked and I saw yours, and I said, man, just right. Listen, let me tune in on this one. I'm kind of glad I did, you know. And it's like I said, well, I'm gonna call in, you know, but because I, you know, we got a battle here, and this is the time right now to start preparing. You know, at this point out before the spring of the year come in, you know, but I'm it's great, you know, talking to you, and I'm looking to talk more with you and working with you also.
We appreciate it, my friend, and I'd like to say thanks for tuning in tonight, and don't hesitate to email me or, you know, email my wife, and we'll definitely get right back at you, and this is what we do, man.
All right, then. I appreciate you, and I appreciate the effort that y'all doing, and I know we're going to come together to do a greater work here pretty soon.
That sounds like a winner, man, and thank you so much again, man, and God bless you and your team.
All right. You take care, then.
All right. You too, my brother.
Okay, then.
Uh-huh. All right. We right back with my main man, G.I., you know, G.I., we rolling tonight. We got people calling in that's been watching us and finally got around to checking in with us. So that was a blessing, you know?
That's definitely a blessing, brother. You know, good to hear everybody out there. I'd like to send a few shots out to my boy T-Rob, the Quiet Giant, Universal.
Without
what's
a doubt.
Up, bro?
I got a couple more people on here, man. I'm going to see who they is before we get off, homie.
For sure.
Hey, caller, you on the air? Guess they chilling for a minute, so we'll go to the next one. Caller, you on the air?
Yo, what's up?
Hey, we appreciate you calling in. Who this, bro?
No doubt. AG, that AT&T working for you, man?
Hey, man, good looking.
Oh, man, this ain't
Rob
the quiet giant, is it? This ain't the quiet giant, is it?
All day, man. You know, I've been sitting there listening.
Baby.
What's happening, boy? Hey. Again, man, it's always a pleasure. I've been incognito for the last couple Wednesdays, man, but I definitely been having y'all in my hearts and prayers, man. And
oh,
I definitely want to give a shout out. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to my brother G, man. That's my brother for life, man. You know, I got his back all day, and you know, to that brother with the team that brother just called in with the team. You know, good luck to him and what he's trying to do. I think that was real, you know, special how he connected with you and got in on the show. But if I could have changed one thing about his his injury. If I could have changed one thing, I would have liked to have heard him say, hey, man, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to the host, to the guest that's on your show tonight, Mr. G.I., you know, trying to do his thing. And, you know, I mean, you know, we all got to boost and build each other, and we got to constantly be mindful of everybody because that's what's going to make us think unified, because it's easy to sit and talk about ourselves and what we plan on doing and what we want to do. And that's not to take away from anybody, but sometimes, you know, it's the gift of giving that gets you the blessing more so than receiving. So when you out there, you know, when you out there busting your butt, man, to satisfy others, your blessings come so abundantly you don't even know how to deal with them because it's too many to handle. That's what's important. So, you know, I could talk all day about the Quiet Giant and other projects that's coming and whatnot. But, you know, it's this man, G.I., right here on your air, who you got on your show, just, you know, talking about his project to hopefully get this young black man up out of a prison that he's been in for over 12 years now and have not had a chance to live a normal life like most of us out here who got the leisure to go down the street and pick up a plate of barbecue ribs or whatever else you can do.
Man.
This man, he don't have those simple. Yeah, he don't have those simple.
I've been rolling with him. T.Y., since he put him up with us. You feel me?
Hey, boy, you ask G-Sign, we talk about you all the time, man. We use a situation, we call you a positive spiritual hustler, bro. And we say, you know, and I tell G all the time, I say, man, stick with boy. He's special. Do I not tell you that, G?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. He big you up every time, man.
So you know, your positive and good-spirited game has been peaked by me a long time ago. See, we always say, yeah, I peaked your game, and it's always a negative reference. But in your case, boy, I peaked that good game you got, and that's a positive reference, man. So I say to that brother out there in Texas or wherever it was he's at, you know, good luck to you, man, and God bless you, man. If there's anything I could do to, you know, to help your cause, I'm with it. But let's also, you know, pay homage and respect to those that are trying to be heard and get their situation, you know, rectified for them. And that's my man G right now on the horn. And it was beautiful. I listened to 15 minutes of what he's doing and all that, and that's great. But I just was hoping he'd say, and you know what, and God bless you too, young man that's on here, because that would really confirm to me that you have been listening to this show. Because it's about much more. Yeah, it's about much more than just, you know, one particular cause. Boy, y'all are a blessing in the spirit to this situation. And, man, I tell you, do not, you and Miss Boy, you and Miss Lucinda, do not quit doing what you're doing, because this is going to blow up bigger than you realize, and it's going to end up having you on the face of television doing it live via television. And trust me, I see that already coming.
Yeah, T-Rob, man? It's like I really appreciate you saying that, man, because a couple people done told me that, man. You know what I mean? It's just the things that me and my wife do. We don't even, you know what I mean, do it out of looking for nothing from nobody. You feel me? We just do it because this is the right thing to do. You feel me? And we got a platform for people to tell their message. And a lot of times after I get through with my interviews, sometime I might do an interview for an hour, you know. G.I., he'll call in, he'll ride with me for the next hour, you know what I mean? Just listening to good music, good commercials, and just vibing, you feel me? And getting his message out there. So, I mean, it's just a balanced thing that we bring to the table, man. And I'll be glad when he be calling in because we ride the whole hour.
Hey, man, look, I consider you and your wife, and it's a group of us who are in the same class, but, you know, I consider us street missionaries. You know how you have missionary groups that go out and they may speak, you know, to try to spread, you know, a particular message. You know, the street missionaries to me are too wide and broad to just carry out one message. The street missionary is that one, that guy who's speaking that spiritual to these kids, that's also speaking that, like, letting them know it ain't the way to go, because where you can end up. He's also
getting young men off the streets, putting them in sports and activities that's keeping them occupied, and talking to women who are battered and trying to get them some help out there, and dealing with inmates who are in jail and wrongfully accused, and some who are, you know, guilty but have served more time than they should be. You guys are being soldiers and pillars for situations like this, youth groups out here who needs guidance and whatnot. You know, poor, you know, cats out here that's been raped and violated and all that, y'all stand for and behind. And that's a special gift right there, man. And you don't find people that have that often. So you are definitely considered a street missionary. And you know what? You can use that term, and I won't even charge you no royalties, player, because you deserve that.
That's
yours. You and Miss Lucinda and those that work along with y'all to help y'all get where y'all, you know, y'all going and what y'all doing are, to me, in my eyes, considered street missionaries. And my man G, sitting up there in SAC right now, is a street missionary that happens to be caged. But look at the power and the things he's doing while still being caged. I tell him all the time, man, you out here doing more hustling. You doing more hustling than us in the streets. I mean, he gets up early, man. I get a text from him. I get a text from him every morning, every afternoon, two or three times, then in the evening. And whatever, no matter what the situation is, it's always, when I answer that call or return that call, it's always him presenting some opportunities. He's never done hustling. And that's what I mean to the brother who calls in. Find out what's going on with the whole show and around so you can really get the gist of what it is if you didn't. Not saying he didn't. But to me, if now that he's listening, tune in every Wednesday, because you're going to learn so much more about what's going on with Boyd and his station and his guest and his wife that you're going to be amazed, and you're not going to be able to resist tuning in from top to bottom and learning about these guests y'all have and feeling for them and connecting with them and discovering for them. And that's why I say to you, Boyd, and I'm going to be done with it, because y'all know I could be winded when I get on this show. This is what I'm going to say to you, boy, and I've been telling G this all the time. This was like an initial, the interim of y'all, you know, being introduced by me. I told G, I said, listen, man, have you called Boy? This was like two or three days later. He's like, nah, I ain't got with him yet, man, because, you know, I don't want to, you know, I know he kind of felt like maybe he didn't want to intrude, but I said, listen, you got to understand, it's a reason why you and Boy meeting. I said, when I talked to that brother, first of all, his wife is a beautiful woman. It was her spirit that drew me in to even be in the presence of Boyd in this show. It was Lucinda, because she would comment on certain things that I'm doing out here, and it was genuine. It was nothing out of disrespect. She's never been disrespected by me. It was never, no, this is Facebook. You know, what's up? Who are you? What's your name? None of that. It was, I felt her spirit, and she asked me one day, hey, I'd like to get you on my show, because I was liking some of the promos she was sending out, so I would like them. Like, this is a good cause, you know, helping women, battered women, and all these wonderful causes. And when she asked me to be on the show, to be honest with you, didn't know anything about the show, and I had just came back from being in the city doing, like, six major TV shows in 5 days. Every morning I was on somebody's couch with five big major cameras in my face. But I was excited to get on the Boy Show for some reason. And they gave me, y'all gave me 2 weeks in a row, the whole show. And trust me, man, we had the phones ringing. And from that point on, I was sold. And I'm sold today. And all I ask of you, Boyd, and Ms. Lucinda, is to keep doing what y'all are doing. And I got one request from you that I think can be very helpful to G-Shine. I've noticed on your show you've had people on there who have gotten attorneys who have helped them get out. G-Shine's whole reason for doing this promo that he's doing is to raise funds to get out. So that's fine, and if that's the way it's got to go, it's going to go that way. But if there's anybody out there who's an attorney who has taken on cases, because let's be honest, cases like this can go kind of national or public. You know, you need that exposure too, because that's what attorneys, you know, they thrive and they get even bigger off of that.
you know, i.e. Johnny Cochran. However, back to the point, if there's an attorney out there who feels that they can, you know, at least get with Boyd and Ms. Lucinda to connect with G-Sign to talk to them about his case and maybe discover that he does have some ground to stand on, I really encourage you to come out and help this brother and take this case and get something going for him, because trust me, this guy's a good spirit, and he shouldn't be behind bars. Even if he did it, I think he served too much time already. So that's all I have to say, and God bless y'all, man. And, you know, it's all love, boy, and we got to talk some more, man, because there's some things that we need to get together about. G-Sign, you know me every day. Lucinda, thank you, sweetie. You are a blessing, and I appreciate you. And, man, I ain't got nothing but love for the boys. And to that brother out there in Texas or wherever it is he's at with the team. What's the name of his organization again? Because I don't want to disrespect him.
Youth Team.
Youth Team. To the Youth Team, I appreciate you helping the youth. I am one, too, who is an advocate helper to the youth. I have a program called Youth Star Vision, which I created and had an extension from that called High School Superstars. So I feel you on the youth thing. But all I ask, my brother, is with that type of spirit you got and leadership you got, reach out, connect with Boyd, to connect with my man G, you know, and do all that you can possibly do, because you may know some people too. Help out is all I'm saying. That's all I think about, everybody,
thank
and not just our own situation. One love.
One love, T. Appreciate you, baby.
Man, I can talk.
It's all good. You feel me? Yeah, because when we get on here, you know, we go all the way. You know how we do it, T.
Yes,
we
sir.
Go all the
it's
way.
All
we go
too,
all the way
it's
to
all...
the Father St. Bean.
Yes, yes, sir. Hi, Ms. Lucinda.
Oh, she right here.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was laughing because I thought about that time when we was having the party on air, and I kept cracking that whip. Let's get it going. We had a good night that night, man. Anyhow, AG, man, it's one love to you, bro. I talked to Bob.
Hey, T-Rob. You there, G.I.?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, did T-Rob hang up? Yeah, T-Rob hang up?
Sounds good. Yeah, I'd like to send some more shots out to, you know, the Extravagant Life family, man. I got MJ, Face the Music, Charlie B. I got my boy, you know what I'm saying, all the family out there, my loved ones, man. I appreciate everybody that's helping me and doing what they do. My brother Akil, you know what I'm saying, my brother King. Happy Earth Day, bro. Late belated Earth Day, you know.
My man.
Yeah,
all right, man. So, hey, we appreciate everything, G. And you know to get at me, you know what I mean? When you text me, you know I get at you. And we're going to call it a night, and we're going to just say, hey, you know, always remember the streets don't love you back. And if you ain't checked out the website, log on to www.thestreetsdon'tloveyouback.com. All right, we call it a night.
My love, brother.
All right, be good.
The hottest, the hottest, the hottest newspaper in Arizona. Buckeye Valley News. Buckeye Valley News. Buckeye Valley News. If you like to advertise, contact Sharon at 623-386-4426. That's 623-386-4426. And say, the streets don't love you back. Sent you.
Help Free G.I., California Political Prisoner of the Year, Mr. G.I. Johnson, film, TV, and record producer, is campaigning for freedom and justice against a wrongful police shooting, cover-up, and conspiracy. Please join the support with your help and donations by buttons, downloads, shirts, hats at the FreeGIProject.org. Your help is very needed. And help Free G.I. FreeGIProject.org. The FreeGIProject.org.